All right, we're beginning today's lesson 8, and we're going to open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12 today, Exodus 12. And I'm glad that you're here this morning, and I'm glad for those who listen by way of the internet and all that too. In Exodus chapter 12, today I'm not going to look specifically at all the plagues, because our lesson is not on the plagues. It's not on Pharaoh, but it's on what God did in Moses' life when he went through these things. And we're talking about standing still and seeing what the Lord can do. And definitely, when we look at the Exodus and God doing what he did here, we see that he has a mighty arm. He has strength. And what is impossible, what looks like an impossibility, God is able to do great things. And here in Exodus chapter 12, I've entitled this lesson, The Exodus and God's Strength Revealed. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 42, the Bible, sorry, I didn't tell you that. Verse 42, the Bible says, "It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." In chapter 13, I can go right across my page. You might have to turn your page. But in chapter 13, verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, for out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread eaten." Now, you know, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, who, it's talking about Jesus Christ here, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. Moses was a servant in the Lord's house. Christ, we know, and when we went through Hebrews, was a servant, was the Lord over his house. Whose house are we? So we see here Moses was faithful. And although I want to spend time today on the Exodus itself and on the Passover as a night to be much observed, I want to run over the plagues and show you how that Moses grew in his faith. And the Lord kind of mentions that as we go through here. I don't know if I want to take the time to look over these scriptures, but I do want to mention that in the first three plagues that God sent on Egypt, Moses and Aaron are mentioned specifically together. And God tells Moses distinctly in chapter 7, 9, 8, 5, and verse 16 to say unto Aaron, remember, as we look back, God sent Aaron with Moses because Moses said, "I can't speak." So he said, "I made Aaron and I know he can speak. And so I'm going to send him with you." So God told Moses, "You say this specifically to Aaron." And he did so in the first three plagues. As the plagues advance, Aaron is mentioned less and less, however. In the fourth and fifth plagues, in chapter 8, 20 and 9, 1, the word of the Lord comes to Moses only. And he's not to tell Aaron anything. So we see that he's growing there. In the sixth plague, is the command is to both men, and that's in chapter 9, verse 8. And then when we come to the seventh plague through the ninth plague, the seventh plague is the plague of hail, and the ninth plague is darkness, the Bible says, that could be felt. And nobody, none of the Egyptians moved. It was a three-day break for the Israelites. And I believe that God did that on purpose to get them ready for the Passover, because the Bible says in their dwellings they had light. But there was no light in the houses of the Egyptians at all. Everybody just sat still. That's an amazing thing when you talk about a darkness that could be felt. Have you ever been in one of those places where it's like you can feel it's just dark? Ever been like that? I have been. Sometimes outside, no stars, no. I got dropped off in the dead of winter. My leader just left me out in the dark. Can you believe that? Just drove off with a van and left me there. That was Jim Shetler, by the way, who did that. but it was interesting. It's just dark out there. He didn't come back and get me because I've lived to prove that, right? But the Bible says there that these commands were given directly to Moses. Why Aaron is dropped from the biblical record, I don't know if there was some reason for that, but I have a hunch that God has led Moses to the point now where he wanted him, because he wanted just to send Moses. And Moses has grown in his faith as these plagues have progressed to the point where he is more confident in God than he was before it ever started. And God wants to do that with you and me. I don't know about you, but I do know about me. Because I need my faith increased. And as we've gone through Hebrews and gone through this now, I see that, you know, faith is what pleases the Lord. And I need, and faith is based on not just anything, but it's based on the promises of God's word. And God's word is what we base our promises on, because God's word never changes. It is consistent. It is infallible. It does not change. And therefore, I can rest my faith and what I do from that point on the promise of God. And that's what Moses had to do here. God's promises were true and didn't change. And so he doesn't change. His faith in God increases. And he comes to the forefront as the bearer of the miracle-working rod and as the emancipator that God chose to lead his people out of Egypt. Now, chapter 11 in verse number 10 is a summary of all those plagues and how Moses and Aaron did. In chapter 11 and verse number 10, the Bible says, and Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord Yahweh, the I Am, remember that's his name now, that he gave to Moses, the I Am, hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now, there's a great contrast here between the God's men and Pharaoh. The contrast I see here is that Pharaoh rejects God first. The Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then the Lord hardened his heart. You see, when we harden our heart against the Lord, there comes a point at which you can't return. When you say no and no and no so many times, then it gets where you can't say yes. You can't. And that's where he is. So he rejects God, but God's men, Moses and Aaron, accept God. Pharaoh scorns God. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is he? And yet here, Moses and Aaron respect God and keep his word. They follow through on the word of God. Pharaoh disobeys God, but Moses and Aaron, when God says say or do, they do it. They obey him. And when Moses and Aaron come on the scene, as we saw last week, when they first appeared before Pharaoh, they were the slaves. You know, they were at the bottom of the, if I could use this analogy, the totem pole, right? I haven't heard that in a long time. And Pharaoh was at the top of the pole. But we see an inversion here, because as Pharaoh does not listen to God, and as he does not listen to his word, he ends up at the bottom, and Moses and Aaron end up at the top. And that is the way it is in God's economy of things. When people obey him and when they receive his word and they follow his word, they may be right now at the bottom. But there's coming a day, my friend, when God's people will be at the top, and the enemies of God and the God rejectors and the God scorners and the ones that disobey him with their disobedient deeds will be at the bottom. And there's a verse on that, and I love this verse. I don't know if you want to turn to it, but I'm going to quote it anyway. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Now the Bible says this, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now this verse right here, "When he shall come, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day." There is a day when he's going to be glorified in you. The glory that's already in you will be evident. And then he'll come to be admired. Admired in all them that believe in that day. Boy, the wicked won't admire him, but we will. And we'll bow in reverence and say, "Oh, Lord, it's good to see you. It's good that faith now has become sight. The hope that I had has become reality.
That is coming, my friend, and it may seem like God's people are being cut down and cut off, and it's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. The Bible tells me that the Antichrist, Satan's son, will wear out the saints, and he'll give God allow him to do so, to wear out the saints of God and chase them down and kill them. Oh, but. Who gets resurrected first? The dead in Christ shall rise first. They get the honor. And then those that are alive and remain shall come and follow him, follow them in a twinkling of an eye. That is our hope. That's what we look forward to. So note here too in Exodus 11:10, the Bible says that they did all that God commanded them. They did everything. Doing all is the kind of faithfulness that is acceptable with God. You see, when we don't do all that he commands us to do, it's just like you didn't obey. Partial obedience is not complete obedience. We have to remember that with our children too, don't we? You know, did you do everything? Yeah, I did part of it. Well, you didn't obey me all the way. And half obedience is disobedience. And so we need to understand that when God asks us to do something, we need to do all. Moses did all. Noah did all. Abraham did all that God asked him to do. And that's our requirement. If we're going to be faithful servants of the Lord, to do all that he requires of us. So as we study this last and final plague in preparation for the Exodus, let's remember what is said of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. I'll quote it for you. It says here in Hebrews 11:28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest the firstborn... Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And that's talking about the Israelites. He kept it by faith. Moses' faith, like all faith, and I said this already this morning, must rest on a promise. And God gave Moses a promise. If you will do this, if you'll follow my instructions, then the firstborn will not die. Now, the Passover will be God's first huge stand still and see what I'm going to do. Now, while the other ones were big ones, this was to be the big one. This one had to be obeyed by the children of Israel. All the plagues to this point, they just sat around and said, wow, did you see what God did? You see what he did here? But this one, they had to be active. They had to take an active part in it. They had to follow God's instructions or their children would die too. So there was something incumbent upon them. And the people were pretty much inactive. But now they had to exercise obedience. Now they had to exercise faith. It wasn't just Moses. It was them. They had to be active in it. And most of what is written about the 10th plague has to do with being protected from the plague. Protection from it. And so the protection from the plague of the death of the firstborn would come through the death of an innocent lamb. There had to be a substitute. Somebody had to take the place of that firstborn. And so, of course, we can see now this side of the Exodus and the Passover, all that God had in mind because it was symbolizing that innocent lamb that was whose blood was shed, was symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a shadow of the Lord and what he would do to save our soul, to save us from an incredible death. And that death is to be placed in the lake of fire forever and ever. So it's a wonderful picture here. And there was definitely requirements that God had given to Moses and they had to meet. In chapter 12, we see those requirements, and I guess we have a little bit of time to read it. Let's take a look at it. The Bible says here in verse number 3 in chapter 12, say this to the children of Israel, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish,
a male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper door of the post of their houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Now here's the manner that they had to eat it. Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. This reminds me of the Lucas Edgy. Eat it in a hurry. That guy can eat fast. I don't know how he does it, but he eats it fast. That's how they're supposed to eat this. Eat it fast. You know, and don't talk. Get it done. God says, eat in a hurry, for it is the Lord's Passover. And he said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Notice it's not just people, it's beast too. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am. I am. I am. I am. That's what he said. I am. I am Yahweh. And this is my command. So they were to eat it with haste. And the Bible tells us how they were to do this. They were to give it the 10th day. Several years ago, my wife and I got to go to that place over there where they had the, where is that? It's in Arkansas. Something Springs. Eureka Springs? Yeah. And they have the they have a passion play there, but they also have a Holy Land tour. And this is several years ago. This is when the boys were, do you remember it? Yeah, that's, they were really little then. and they have a two the size of the tabernacle with a curtain around it and everything. And you get to go in within the veil. You get to go in with the veil. That's amazing. You get to go in there and you see they have this thing that's called the hand of God. And the guy that did it for us said that the land that was chosen was picked out on the 10th day, and when they brought it in there on the 14th day, and they put it within the hand of God before it was slain, and what was kind of interesting too was that the high priest knew how to slay that lamb so that it would not make any sound when its throat was slit. No sound. As a sheep before it shears its own, so he opened not his mouth. And they would catch that blood. But the one question they would ask the people when they brought that lamb and put it between the hands of God or whatever, they would say, do you love this lamb? Do you love this lamb? And you see, they had to keep it 4 days at least. And they had to protect that lamb so it wouldn't be bruised. It was a male lamb or goat, the Bible says. They get a lamb or goat. But they had to love that lamb. Do you love that lamb? Yes, I love this lamb. Because that lamb was didn't take away their sin. But we know, do you love the lamb? Do you love the lamb? Do you love him? And I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, John said, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew and John followed him. He said, what are you looking for? Where do you stay? He said, come and see. And they spent the whole day with Jesus. And then Andrew goes and finds Peter. We found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. Come and see. We found him. We found him. Do you love the Lamb? And those people, yes, we love the Lamb because he is our substitute. The Lamb's our substitute. So we don't have to die. We don't have to suffer eternal death. So with the picture of Christ is all over this thing. All over it. And they did that by faith. They had seen Moses' faith. They had seen what Moses had said. And they saw the plagues come.
And God made a distinction after the third plague between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. They'd seen it. They'd seen his faith grow. And they'd seen him obey. And so when the man of God says, this is what you must do, and he does, it's repeated again. He goes before the elders. And he tells them, this is what you have to do. This is what you must do. And they did it. The Bible says in chapter 12 and verse 21 through 28, gives the whole thing here again. But in verse 28 especially, the Bible says, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And it says it again, so did they. They did it. They did everything. Boy, there's been a change in their hearts too, hadn't there? You remember last week? You made our Savior to stink before Pharaoh. Whoa, they've chanted. They've had a change of heart. Oh, I guess we need to obey. And they did it all. They did it all just like Moses had required of them. Now, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing for men when they see faith that steps out with no outward assurance of gain. There's no assurance of gain that they're going to make anything. And yet, here the Bible says the people obediently did what was asked of them. They killed the lamb in the evening. They took the hyssop and they sprinkled it on the sides. And you know this, on the side post and on the header. It doesn't say that. We call it the header, right? They sprinkle the blood here and here. And we know that that forms a cross, God was saying. He was already saying how the lamb was going to die on a cross. I don't think it had even been invented yet. The Phoenicians were the one that came up with crucifixion. But God was already saying, that's how my son's going to die. And they did that by faith, believing that if they obeyed God, then nobody in the house would die. Nobody would. And they did it by faith, and they obeyed. They obeyed. They obeyed. And when the lamb was killed and the blood was sprinkled, there was no precedent for that. It had never been done before. We look at it as Gentiles and say, oh yeah. But remember, nobody, this was new stuff. God had never given this requirement before. No precedent for it, and the action would have nothing to do that they knew of with deliverance. They didn't, they had their clothes on, they were ready to do what? Well, they were just to obey. And when the horn blew, there it is. It's time to go. Then their assurance, you see, they followed it. And you know what? We need that kind of faith today. We need the kind of faith that does not question, but is assured of the sure promises of God that if I will follow Him by faith, He'll come through. I read this morning in Luke, Zacharias, as his course was. He was in the temple and offering by the altar of incense. On the right side, Gabriel shows up. Boom. Oh, Zacharias hits the floor. Oh, my Lord. He said, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. Now, wouldn't you like to hear that, brother? God's heard my prayer. Hallelujah. And your prayer has been heard. What's prayer? You're going to have a baby. What? I'm too old. And my wife, whoo, she is really old. There is no way. But he said, I stand in the presence of the Lord, and God told me this. This is not Moses standing there. That's an angel telling you, your prayer has been heard and your wife's going to have a child. Oh. You say, well, how am I going to know this? You should never ask that question. I am an angel. I told you what God said. Okay. You're not going to be able to talk until the child's born. 9 months, silence. He comes out and can't say a word. He tries and he can't say a word. And I'm saying, oh, wow. And he goes home. Now, all of us in this room, I think we can understand this. He goes home to his wife, an old woman. And they enjoy what God has created for a husband and wife to enjoy. And then, I mean, think about this. Elizabeth's a little excited. God's taken away my curse. I have a child. She's excited about it. And what do you think about Zacharias?
Whoa, he was right. He was right.
And then when they go to circumcise the child, they say, we're going to call him Zacharias. You're not going to call him Zacharias. You're going to call him John. John? There's nobody in your family named John. Where'd you come up with that name? Zacharias, come here. What do you think he should be called? Give me a tablet. Hey, the tablet was invented way back then. How about that? And he wrote with his fake. No, he didn't use a finger. I don't know what he used. A stone. His name shall be John. Bah! John, praise the Lord. He can talk. Oh, boy. Everybody's, wow. These are strange things today. What about this boy? There's something happening here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God was doing something. Faith. And then the next thing is Mary. Gabriel shows up. She says, how's this going to happen since I don't know a man? She knew biology. And he says, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And that thing which is born of you shall be called the Son of God. And she says, be it unto me according to thy word. I believe. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Listen, you got some impossibilities in your life right now? You think, how are we going to do this? There's just no way. Does God get you to the point of, I don't know what we're going to do? You look at circumstances, you're like, oh, our nation is so bad, and it's getting so bad, and what are we going to do? And teenagers today are like, what purpose is there? Our country's falling apart. What is there for me? Yeah, but wait a minute. Is there any economic problems with God? No. Is there anything that he can't do? No. So do we trust circumstances or do we trust the promises of God that are sure? Do we put our trust in him? Huh? This works a whole lot here. So I just continue to do faithfully what he's told me to do. And when I get to that day when something has to happen, he'll help me. He'll guide me. He will direct me. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. And if I have to eat potatoes with the skins, glory to God. Amen. And that's all I have.
Even broccoli.
And even broccoli. Can't believe I said that. Yes. But I will not eat it broiled. I will eat it raw. He can. And if I die, that's gain. If I don't make it through, it's gain. Because he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He's able. So this, we need this, don't we? They didn't know. They just did what they were supposed to do. And then God did what he was supposed to do. Can you not with me see the vindication of their faith in chapter 12 and verse 30? Or verse 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, even to the people that were in prison, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Can you imagine with me? Midnight. They've done, they're eating. They're in a hurry. Hurry, eat, eat. And all of a sudden, and then they're like, and you could hear it from house to house. There's a wail, there's a cry, a mama, a daddy. Somebody cries, somebody's little pet dog, little child to cry, my puppy's dead. There was not a house where there was not a wail and a cry because they did not obey. They didn't obey and they lost. They lost. And in the houses of the Israelites, what? Oh, praise Yahweh. And then, of course, Moses and Aaron were called for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, get out of here. We want you gone. Get. And then he says, and will you bless me? Can you imagine? After all that, he said, and will you bless me? But get out of here. Leave. And the Bible says that just like God said in chapter 6 in verse number 1, Pharaoh drove them out of his land. Get out of here. Leave. Leave. But you know what? There was a vindication for obedience. There is always a reward for obeying. And that's what I want to close with, the reward for obedience. In chapter 12 and verse 35 and 36, here's the reward for the children of Israel. The Bible says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of the Lord of Moses, and they borrowed. I don't really think they borrowed. They actually took. It was their payoff. 430 years, and they did not receive a payment check for working. Didn't. They were slaves. You didn't get paid for it. No. So here's the payoff. Here's your check, bonus check, by the way. The Bible says they took, of the Egyptians, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and new clothes. Look at that, raiment. Slaves don't have nice clothes. They got new clothes. Boy, don't you think those ladies ask and ask and ask. I guarantee you they did. Are you satisfied with one chair? No, I don't want one. Give me two or three. Huh? They're not different than you or me. Oh, yes. And they got the best. They didn't ask for a little tunic. Give me the robes. The raiment. Can you not see this? I mean, I've never heard it put this way, but it had to be. Because they got paid off. Their clothes, slave clothes. They weren't nice. They were robes. They were dirty, but the best stuff. Wow. God gave them the best. The raiment in the Bible says, and the Lord gave, here it is, the people, I like this word, favor. You want God's favor, don't you? And God's favor is like a big bonus. Because the day before, they had no favor. They were slaves. But the Bible says he gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they, here it is, spoiled the Egyptians. That means they took a whole lot of stuff. Not just jewels and silver and gold, but clothes and everything. God intending later on to use that stuff to build the tabernacle. They didn't know it. But God was preparing them for it. So they were loaded down. You need a knocking? Here. You need some cop? Yeah. They took everything. They took a lot of stuff. Just get out of here. That's why they had to have the shoes on, the staff in the hand. They were moving out. But they did this. They did it. The reward for obedience was that. And you know what? The Egyptians were liberal in giving this to the despised Levites. You know what? Stand still and see what God can do. Stand still and see what he's going to do. Just for obeying, for obedience. And I want you to note that the Bible says they were instructed just to ask. Ask. So all you got to do is ask. Now what if Paul hadn't asked? They wouldn't have anything, would they? Nope, no silver, no gold, no new clothes. So just go and ask. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says, ask, and ye shall receive. Ask. Ask. Jesus said, ask. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. You think they had joy that day? Huh? It was much to be observed before the Lord that day. Did they go on, oh man, we gotta, what did you get so much stuff for? Huh? We can't carry all this stuff on the camel. We can't get in our car. No. Oh, wow, this is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise be the name of Jehovah. He has done gracious things. He's been bountiful to us. Look at what he's done. What a God. And they went out with a high hand, my friend. And it was all because of the favor of the Lord.
the favor of the Lord. And that's what he did for them. So that evening, the people who were slaves crystallized into a nation. Boom. Like that. A nation. And a fire was in their eye, a spring was in their step, and the spirit of their leader had inspired them to trust in God, to believe in God, to believe, just believe. And much more than that, they had seen the Lord bear his arm. They'd seen the Lord do something by strength of hand. He did it. He led them out. And so what faith did for them, it'll do for you and me. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. But with faith, it is possible. And how much more? Faith has a reward. Now, this side of glory, you might not see it. You might not see all the glory of the reward for just being faithful. It's required of stewards, Corinthians tells us, that a man be found faithful. But I just faithful day in, day out. Just faithful, obediently following the Lord. And I might not see all the reward here, but I will see the reward. And that reward is eternal reward. It's not like the silver and golden raiment here. It's everlasting clothes, white robes, which is the righteousness of the saints. And you talk about rewards that will never tarnish. You know, thieves can't bruise. They won't in heaven break through and steal. Uh-uh. No, you won't want my stuff and I won't want your stuff. No, it's yours. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy. You know, and there's no corruption. It'll be yours forever. Forever. And it's hard to imagine. Forever stuff. But that's the reward for following the Lord. And what and you see, you and I were bound in bondage of their sin. Under a worse tyrant than that of Pharaoh. Sin. Bound in darkness. But like Brother Jeff wants us to sing, then Jesus came. Then he came. When the fullness of time was gone, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them who are under the law, to take us out. And by the way, can I remind you that we were not a people. We were Gentile dogs. No hope. No redeemer for us. He came unto his own. He came to the Jew. But all the way through the Old Testament, it was there. The mystery was there. God was wanting to save the world. That includes you, the Gentile. Yes, yes. And what is the reward? What is it? We overcome by his blood and the word of our testimony. And when we obey the Lord, there is a reward. And the reward is, and I wrote it down here, we can ask for things in his name that our joy might be full too. John chapter 16, verse 24. And we have the hope of a better resurrection, a better resurrection. So I hope this morning, this lesson has helped you to stand still and see the reward that God has for those that obey. Just obey. Obey the Lord. And don't doubt. The Bible says, he that doubts in his heart, but better you don't even ask if you doubt. But he says, believe. If he believes the things that he asked for, he receives them. Believes. Believe. And we have a Savior who will answer. And remember, he ever is there in the heavenlies. We have an audience with him. And we ask that our joy might be full. And so we need to ask for the things that he wants us to ask for. And we find in the Word, we'll find those things he wants us to ask for, and our joy will be full. It really, really, really will. May God help you and me to be full of faith, like Barnabas. Full of faith in the promises of God's Word. Let's pray together. Brother Jerry, would you close this prayer, please?